Have you ever wished you had been taught how to study the Bible in depth? Because that is exactly what our partners, Chasing Sacred, are all about. Creating resources for studying the Bible that meet practical needs while also maintaining strong biblical literacy. The way they structure their studies are so purposeful, and they help readers understand the historical and cultural context, which is so important. They actually just came out with a new study on the book of Ephesians. You do not want to miss it. Just don't forget to put code ABIDINGFREE for a 20% discount on any of their products. Click their link in our show notes and learn more about them at chasingsacred.com.
Life can be messy and hard, but one of the things God has promised to give us is freedom. Freedom deep in our hearts that is not dependent on the ever-changing waves of circumstances, but set on the steadfast promises of God. This freedom gives us a secure identity, even with a broken past. It helps us have joy in parenting, even when we are completely exhausted. This freedom gives us love for our spouses, even when they are unlovable. And it can give us purpose in our careers, even if it's not the one we want.
But I feel stuck sometimes, don't you? What does it really mean that Christ has set us free? That's why we're here. Welcome to the Abiding Free podcast with Kristen and Shannon. We invite you to walk on this bumpy but beautiful journey toward freedom as we learn to abide in Him. Get ready for tears and laughter and everything in between, because this podcast is about living from the truth that, yes, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Abiding Free podcast. This is Kristen, and I have a very special guest with me today. I am here with Lara Dentremont, and she is a wife, a mother of three little wildlings, an author, her first book, A Mother Held, Essays on Motherhood and Anxiety, chronicles her earliest days of motherhood as she battled an anxiety disorder. Lara is a regular contributor to Well-Watered Women and a staff writer for Gospel-Centered Discipleship and Chasing Sacred. Lara, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm just so grateful that you are willing to share your story. I feel like this is such a relevant topic for us. And, you know, before we get in, though, I would just love to hear a little bit of your testimony and how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah. So my story, I often tell people, I don't have one of those conversion moments that I can say, this is the moment when I became a Christian. I grew up in a non-Christian house, but my mother always sent me to Sunday school and church, and I always went to youth groups and that sort of thing. And so I found over the years, it's simply just been a more gradually learning more about God, learning more about my relationship with Him and the gospel and the Bible and reading it more and understanding it more. And just over the years, a gradual maturing and knowing. So it's not that I can necessarily say that this is the moment when I made a decision, but rather just a gradual revealing of who He was and understanding Him over the years.
That's beautiful. I know my husband can relate to that. My husband and I have kind of different, you know, testimonies. Mine was more like the dramatic, you know, moment overnight, but his also was like yours, just a beautiful weaving, you know, of God's story and God's truth, you know, into his life over the years. Well, with that, Lara, I obviously, as we mentioned to the listeners, that you wrote a book called A Mother Held, Essays on Motherhood and Anxiety. And I know that you are just a beautiful example of being open and vulnerable about this difficult topic and the topic of mental health in general. And so I would just love to hear, I think our listeners would really benefit from hearing kind of your journey with mental health struggles and what that looked like for you.
Over the years, I can remember having anxiety from a really young age, from being a child in bed, having intrusive thoughts that I wasn't saved, and because I had blasphemed the Holy Spirit somehow without realizing, having anxiety. And for as long as I can remember, I've had a phobia of vomiting. And so that was always present in different seasons where I wasn't eating much because I was so scared of being sick and like staying home and not going anywhere because afraid of getting sick. And so that has been a constant of my story since a child, but I never had the language to be able to say, oh, this is an anxiety disorder. These are intrusive thoughts. I never even considered that this could be an illness. It was always, in my eyes, this was some kind of flaw. I read Bible verses and heard people talk about anxiety as a sin. And so I understood it as a sin and something wrong with me that, oh my goodness, if I don't fix this soon, maybe I'm not even saved. And what's wrong with me? Why can't I obey God? And so that was my understanding until grade 12, when I saw my guidance counselor and she said, it sounds like you have an anxiety disorder. And I was like, what? What's an anxiety disorder? That's a thing? Like,
yeah.
And I don't blame anybody. That I think I grew up in a time and in a place where it wasn't talked about much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People knew of the extreme cases, you know, schizophrenia or personality disorders, but no one really talked about the fact that anxiety and depression were mental illnesses too, and especially not in young children. And so I think just nobody realized. I think everybody was simply in the dark like I was. Yeah, it was once I entered grade 12 and I spoke to that guidance counselor and I realized I have an anxiety disorder. And so over the years, getting more and more help for that. And especially once I became a mom, my first child, again, I went through a similar thing of I had all these intrusive thoughts that are really common to moms when they go through pregnancy and birth. But again, I thought there was something wrong with me. I'm like, why am I having these thoughts all the time? Why am I so paranoid? Why is there so much anxiety and depression and all these feelings? This should be a happy, exciting time. But instead, I'm having all of these negative feelings. And again, I just kept quiet because I thought if anybody knew this, what would they think? Would they take my children away? Would they, like, what would happen? They would think there's something extremely wrong with me. I must be so abnormal. And so I never talked about it. And then when I had my twins, when I had morning sickness, it was very bad. I forget what the name is, but like really bad morning sickness that I couldn't eat, couldn't function. And I was hospitalized for a few days. And I told them I have this fear of vomiting still. And so that's just making everything more complicated and so much harder to eat. And then my anxiety meds that I was taking, they're making me feel worse and more nauseous. So then I got connected with a psychiatrist who worked in maternal mental health. And through her, I finally realized things like intrusive thoughts and OCD. It's like, oh, this is a normal experience for many moms. I'm not abnormal. No one's going to take my kids away because I'm experiencing this. And just gradually learning more and more and understanding what was going on in my body and that this is not a sin. There is not something deeply wrong with me that I'm a terrible person, but rather this is a physical thing going on in my brain that I'm not creating or forcing or making up. And so, yeah, just a lot of growing slowly and understanding what's going on inside of me and having to undo a lot of bad teachings that I had come across in the church that told me it was sin and that it was all my fault and that I could prevent it somehow. And I was just too self-focused and that sort of thing.
Thank you so much for sharing that and your journey. And I feel like you've really chronicled well your personal journey, but also just from an observer, what has happened over these years and some beautiful growth, like as you mentioned, just in the church from that time of, I know exactly what you're talking about. And even though, you know, I didn't struggle to the extent of, you know, having a diagnosis, there were certainly, I remember in my 20s going through similar, just a season of depression. And exactly, I know exactly what you mean by just almost the shame and like, am I a bad Christian? And some of those thoughts that can come in. And so I just thank you for sharing that. And along with that, I guess I would love to ask, how have you experienced the growth in the church and resources available? And how do you feel like we can continue to grow specifically in the church with resources and our response to this?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I didn't seek a lot of counseling in the beginning because one of the narratives being told to me was that psychology was of the devil, essentially. Like it is heresy and it's just worldly and it's only going to drive you further away from God. And I think that is something that's come a long way as I've found other resources and, you know, I've learned, oh, you know, God's common grace has allowed psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors to know true things about the body and how it works and ways to help us cope with these things that are going on in our brains and these misfirings that are happening. And understanding that was a big step for me and that it's not wrong to seek help in those areas. And just being able to find others who were able to, you know, have the voice and say, you are completely fine seeking counseling and psychiatric help and taking medications and, you know, admitting, like you said, that you don't have to be ashamed of what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so I think we definitely need to keep hearing those reminders that God's common grace, which we see right from the covenant with Noah, that yeah. he said, I am going to sustain this world. And part of that is he allows doctors, he allows psychiatrists, he allows biologists, chemists, all these people to know true things about his world and his creation, even if they don't know him. Mm. And I think continually reminding people it's okay to seek help and not assuming that just because we're Christians, therefore we have the ability to give counsel in like psychiatry or counseling. You know, there's definitely a spiritual element, and there was a lot of the spiritual element as I had to undo a lot of wrong teachings about mental health and the way God mm-hmm. viewed me and what he thought about me. But there was also the medical aspect that I needed and the specialized aspect. And so I think it's important for people in the church to recognize that and to be able to say, like, this part is out of my realm and this part you need to entrust to them. Because I think a lot of harm can come there too when people assume that, you know, the Bible says we have everything we need for godliness, for righteousness, for good work, and for life. And yes, that's true. Mm. But the Bible isn't a biology textbook. It's not a math book. It's okay. He's given us those resources outside of his word. Yeah. The Bible's given us everything we need to live the Christian life, not necessarily to heal a broken leg or to treat cancer.
Yeah. Wow. I love what you just said there about cancer. And we've done a few prior episodes on, you know, mental health issues. And in one of them, I just love what Shannon, our co-host, said about, she said, it's just so interesting that we tell people, yeah, go get your medication for your heart, for your body. But then when it comes to taking a medication for the brain and for what's going on there with, you know, mental health, it's like we've been so resistant to it. And so, I love how you brought that up. It's like, just as we would go seek cancer of the body, of course, of the mind, we would also want to treat that as well. So, love that you brought that up. It's interesting too, Lara, what I was thinking of when you were sharing. I don't know if you know this, but I, for years I was a school psychologist. So I have a background mm-hmm. in both psychology and the Bible, and I loved doing both. And I was in an interview for a Bible teaching position at a school, a really great school. And the interview was wonderful. And I was with, there was like 12 people sitting around, and they were looking at my resume. And, you know, one of the interviewers asked, and it was a great question. He didn't mean it at all in a critical way, but he said, okay, so I see that you have a psychology background. How does that conflict or whatnot with the Bible? And it is a good question. We always need to be mm-hmm. looking at whatever input we're receiving through the lens of God's word. And listen, I've had a couple therapists, some that have given really poor advice, you know, and mm-hmm. so we do need to be like open to that. But what I said to him is, I said, well, all truth is God's truth. And I find that so much of actual, like, good psychology is borrowing from the Bible, is basically telling us just what the Bible says. And, you know, the other day I saw a study that basically Thanksgiving is, it increases our happiness. And, you know, we know that's not always the case. We don't want to say like it's a band-aid, and when someone is really struggling, it may not make you happier to be thankful. But like, that was a psychological study. Well, in the Bible, it says that that is good for our souls to give Thanksgiving. And so it's just always so interesting to me when people want to throw out, like you said, all of psychology, when a lot of it, good psychology, is borrowing from the truth of God.
I love that. I love what you said about, you know, all truth is God's truth, because that's exactly it.
Yeah.
If psychology is saying something true, mm-hmm. that means it came from God. That means exactly. He gave that to them. He revealed that to them. And like you said, there is a lot of overlap. You know, we do see these things. Like, even I was reading a book about forgiveness, and it used the story of Joseph. And she showed how, like, Joseph rightly set boundaries, you know, when his brothers first came, and, you know, he rightly Amen. Sought to test them to make sure, like, are they truly repentant before I reveal myself? Mm-hmm. You know, he used wisdom. And that's something counselors will recommend when you're dealing with, you know, abusive people or difficult relationships, they'll recommend, you know, you don't have to trust right away. Yeah. And so we see that even in Joseph, and the Bible doesn't put him down for that. He's considered a man of God who loved God and sought to do what was right in God's eyes.
Amen. Oh, I love that. Yeah, that is so true. And, you know, one question I'd also love to ask, you know, I'm reading Ecclesiastes right now as a book I'm studying, and I just got to the part where it talks about two is better than one, and just the importance of community and friendship. We can't do this life alone. How did Christian community help you through your struggles and suffering?
Christian community was so necessary because one, just having twins and having a two-year-old at home, that in itself, I had to realize I need help. I cannot do this alone. This is more than a one-woman show going on. And then especially with the mental health, just being able to, you know, call a friend and say, this is a really bad day. Can you pray for me? Or I'm really anxious. Can you pray for me? And, you know, that takes courage. And that's hard to do because, you know, with all the shame and all of that, we can worry, are they just going to look down on me? Are they going to view me differently now? Or we start to worry, am I a burden to them? Am I being, you know, too much for them? And if they are good friends, they want us to do that. You know, I've had so many friends over the years who are just like, thank you for sharing with me. And please keep reaching out. Don't feel like you're a burden. You know, I called somebody the other day and they said, stop apologizing for calling or texting. Wow. This is what the church is for. We are here for this and we're here to help you and support you. You don't need to feel bad for calling and asking for prayer or for wisdom. It takes a lot to have to undo those negative narratives in our head that say everybody is sick of us and everybody's going to look at us shamefully. You know, being able to find those people we trust and that they can come in and we have to open up, right? We can't get help unless we open up and say, I'm struggling. You know, Galatians encourage us towards this. It says, you know, share one another's burdens. And Glenna Marshall talks about there can't be any burden sharing without any burden telling. You have to talk about your burdens.
That's a good word.
Right. In order for people to be able to share them with you. And so people have been helpful in so many ways, whether it's coming to watch my children so I can get a nap or I can fold, you know, 5 days worth of laundry or somebody bringing us a meal and just saying, look, I know life is really hard right now. This is one less thing you have to worry about. Or another friend who came into my house, she brought paper plates. She brought her own grill to make grilled cheeses, all the cheese and all the bread. And she's like, you are going to sit here. I'm not going to make any mess for you. My daughter, you just tell her what to do and she will clean your house. And I'm going to make grilled cheeses for your whole family.
That is so sweet.
And just simple things like that.
The gift of grilled cheese.
Right. Yes, exactly.
I mean, that. Let's just be honest. Grilled cheese always ministers in my heart. So
exactly.
That's very sweet.
I think once we open up, we realize people are so willing to come and help in whatever way they can. You know, I went into preterm labor and so we had to spend some time in another city under another hospital while somebody took care of our two-year-old back home. And we were staying in a hotel that was close to the hospital. My brother-in-law and his wife, they ordered groceries for us and said, here's the time. Go pick them up at the grocery store. We found a grocery store really close to you. Just go there and call and pick them up. And you have some groceries so you don't have to take out again this week.
Wow. Gosh, thank you for sharing these very specific things, because for as long as I've tried, you know, ministering to friends and going through difficult things, it's just always good to constantly get new ideas and these very just practical ideas. Because sometimes I think we overthink it. But
exactly.
And it's like what you're saying is just these very simple, the everyday things are often in mental health struggles are what we're, you know, struggling through. So I think these are just really good tangible ideas. And on that note, so I love how others have come alongside you, very practical ideas. What other things would you say you did personally that really has helped you through some of these seasons?
Thank you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with motivation to get into God's Word, and I love adding some aesthetic beauty and note-taking to my Bible study with the Mr. Pen Selah Bible Journaling Kit. This classy and beautiful kit comes with everything you need to add some fun and color to your study. This set comes with Bible tabs, highlighters and pens, stickers with a modern script font, gold cross paper clips, transparent sticky notes, and a lovely cream and gold supplies pouch to hold it all together. And today you can get a discount on the Selah Bible Journaling Collection on Amazon with the discount code SelahKit24. Use SelahKit24 on Amazon for a discount today.
Definitely getting counseling and being able to talk to other people. Mm-hmm. Also just being willing to look at my schedule and ask myself what is absolutely necessary and what can go. Sometimes we think that we always have to be doing all the things, forgetting that some seasons are a matter of survival. When you have newborn twins who need to be fed and woken every 2 hours around the clock, it's time for survival. And it's okay if the floors don't get swept. Simple things like looking through and saying, what is necessary? What helps me function best right now? Some people are like, it's okay if I wear the same clothes the whole day of the week and I don't shower. Some people are very okay with that.
Yeah.
For me, I really like my daily showers. So it's okay. What can I take off my list to make sure I get the daily shower that's really important for me to function at my best? We often think of self-care or, you know, doing those kinds of things for ourselves. We think of them as selfish. But I had a psychiatrist put it to me this way. She said, if this is what you need to be the best mom you can be for these kids, that's what matters. She said, if you need somebody to come in and help you out once in a while, if you need to not fold the laundry and just throw it in the drawers, like that's okay. If that's going to make you a better mom, at the end of the day, that's not going to change anything. You know, your kids aren't going to grow up traumatized because their clothes weren't folded in their drawers.
That's good. Right.
They're going to be okay. But what will matter to them is that you were present, that you took care of their needs, that you were there for them when they needed you, and that you comforted them. Those are the things that matter, that you played with them and you had the energy. And so just reexamining my life and saying sometimes, you know, what is most important right now? And what can be put aside for right now? And realizing too, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm always going to be functioning this way, but that it can be a reassessment over time. Like, oh, the kids are sleeping better at night now. Maybe I can, you know, start sweeping the kitchen floor again each night, or whatever the case might be, whatever the thing is that you drop, you know, reassessing as life changes. What can be brought back in, and maybe something else needs to go. It's like, you know what? I realized it really wasn't that important to me that we always had a baked meal every single night.
Right.
And you know what? I'm going to be using leftovers a lot more frequently from now on.
Wow. Well, as I'm just listening to, I just think even if we're not struggling with, you know, mental health issues, these are just good tips. I mean, and really, we all have some mental health issues. Like, we live in a broken world. It's just to the degree to which we have them. And so these are just great ideas for all of us. So thank you. That's good practicality. I think what stood out to me when you were sharing is that a lot of times self-care is other care. And so essentially they're almost one and the same thing. You know, it can, of course, it can go into like selfishness, but goodness, self-care, like you said, is one of the best things we can do to care for others if that's, you know, if we really need that. And so thank you for that encouragement. And I would just love to hear, what would you say were some of the things you learned about God through these seasons of suffering?
I think, and it's in the title of my book, but that God holds me through it all.
Wow.
You know, we can easily begin to believe that, you know, if we're suffering, you know, this is some kind of punishment from God, or this is his way of pushing us away, or that, you know, he's just fed up with me. He's tired of me coming to the throne again and again in tears, or tired of me always having all these requests, or always struggling. And we begin to think that maybe he's further away. Maybe he's not that kind. Or maybe we just always have had this idea of God, just this abstract ruler way up high in the sky, like as small as a star. That's how far away he is from us. And he's not close to us. And it's just been helpful to continually dwell on his gentleness, his kindness, to dwell on what it means that he is a good, good father.
Wow.
You know, I grew up with a father who wasn't that great. And so I easily put all of those characteristics of my earthly father on God, that
wow.
he was judgmental of me, that he spoke harshly with me, that I never measured up. And, you know, having to go back to God's word and seeing, no, like taking off that lens that I've read scripture through, that assuming God is angry and displeased all the time, but instead trying to read scripture as it is and seeing him as gentle and kind and taking care of his people,
wow.
you know, that he's not always looking out and just waiting for them to sin and like, yep, there it is. They messed up again, just like I thought, but rather Jesus, how he comes to like the woman at the well, how he deals with the woman who was crying and pouring the oil on its feet.
Wow.
Remembering those times and reading those passages, or how he said, you know, I will not lose any the Father gives to me. I will not turn away any who come to me. And those verses have just been a lifeline to me in so many seasons of realizing he is here. He is with me. He has not left me.
Wow.
Just because it's dark right now doesn't mean he's gone or that he's taken his care elsewhere, but that he is still with me. Whether I feel him, God is still there and he wants to hear from me. You know, looking at the Psalms of Lament and seeing people came very honestly to God. I forget which one it is, but one of the darkest Psalms, that it doesn't end on a happy note.
Psalm 88.
Yes. Darkness is my closest friend. I think what the hope is in that one is that he came honestly to God and God preserved such a psalm.
Wow.
That God didn't say, yikes, let's, that one doesn't need to be in there. Yeah, just toss that one over, you know.
Yeah.
But a believer struggling and wondering, where are you, God? I always wanted to try to come because I feared how God thought of me and the way he treated me. I foolishly thought, I'll just come and, you know, say the same rote prayer and pretend that I'm happy and have all this gratitude and, you know, just act like everything's fine, even though I have all these questions and doubts and anger. But when I did that, my relationship with God did suffer. I distanced myself from him. And I realized I needed to come to him in honesty, like in that psalm, and just speak honestly before him and recognize he wants me to come to him this way.
Wow.
He doesn't want me to come to him all perfect and cleaned up like the Pharisees tried to be. But he wants me to be like that sinner who came into the church and said, help me, God, a sinner.
Wow. Well, that's a word. That was beautiful. Gosh, I just have chills. I'm assuming some of this is in your book, and I'm sure so much more. Again, her book is called A Mother Held: Essays on Motherhood and Anxiety. And is there anything you'd love for us to know about that book, and what would encourage someone to read this book?
Well, this book is specifically intended for mothers, especially in the early years. I meant for this book to be not some kind of chronicling of, look, see how hard my life is, feel pity on me, or just to talk about myself. But I meant for this book to be, here is a story of God holding me when the worst happened and when the best happened, and to be able to tell other believers, he is good and sovereign. He is near. Because that's where the book was born from, that I had a young girl come to my house who was, you know, she was newly married, her first pregnancy. And she said to me, I want to be happy and enjoy this time, but I have so much anxiety.
Oh.
And I heard my own voice when she said those words, because I had said basically the same thing in my first pregnancy.
Wow.
And I thought in that moment, I wish I could give her all of the stories from my life to show that God is good and he's sovereign in the midst of all of this, and you can trust him.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take all those stories and bring them together. And my very kind editor at Cala Press wanted to publish them. And so that's what I want people, even if you're not a mom, I hope you can still, or, you know, you're a mom, an empty nester, whatever the case might be, that you'd be able to read this book and see that it's not just about motherhood, but it's about God carrying us through the darkest of suffering and the greatest of joys.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. And where can we find this, your book?
You can find it on Calla Press. We're hoping to soon get it on Amazon, but at the time it's just at Calla Press. So I'll give you the link for that you can put in the show notes.
Wonderful. Wow, Laura. Well, again, thank you so much. I just know that so many are blessed by this. And again, your openness and, you know, hearing someone else's openness is healing. It really is. It's just healing for the soul. And so feel free, listeners, if you want to reach out to us with any questions. And we're so grateful you joined us today. And be sure to grab a copy of that book, A Mother Held, Essays on Motherhood and Anxiety. And as we mentioned, she is a regular writer for Chasing Sacred and Gospel Center Discipleship. So you can find more of her writing there. Praying for you all. And we love you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have a second, please share this episode with someone you love.
Also, if you could scroll down and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at Abiding Free, this will help us reach more with the message of freedom.
Yeah, and then just be sure to join us next week for another episode, and know we love and are praying for you.